All right, we're continuing Chapter 5 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. So you remember he had just gotten to the Weasleys, they talked a little bit, and now he's going up to bed. Fred and George's bedroom was on the second floor. Mrs. Weasley pointed her wand at a lamp on the bedside table, and it ignited at once, bathing the room in a pleasant golden glow. Though a large vase of flowers had been placed on a desk in front of a small window, their perfume could not disguise the lingering smell of what Harry thought was gunpowder. A considerable amount of floor space was devoted to a vast number of unmarked sealed cardboard boxes, amongst which stood Harry's school trunk. The room looked as though it was being used as a temporary warehouse. Hedwig hooted happily at Harry from her perch on top of a large wardrobe, then took off through the window. Harry knew she'd been waiting to see him before going hunting. Harry bade Mrs. Weasley good night, put on pajamas, and got into one of the beds. There was something hard inside the pillowcase. He groped inside it and pulled out a sticky purple and orange sweet, which he recognized as a puking pastille. Smiling to himself, he rolled over and was instantly asleep. Seconds later, or so it seemed to Harry, he was awakened by what sounded like cannon fire as the door burst open. Sitting bolt upright, he heard the rasp of the curtains being pulled back. The dazzling sunlight seemed to poke him hard in both eyes. Shielding them with one hand, he groped helplessly for his glasses with the other. "What's going on?" "Wouldn't know you were here already," said a loud and excited voice, and he received a sharp blow to the top of the head. "Ron, don't hit him," said a girl's voice reproachfully. Harry's hand found his glasses, and he shoved them on, though the light was so bright he could hardly see anyways. A long, looming shadow quivered in front of him for a moment. He blinked, and Ron Weasley came into focus, grinning down at him. "All right?" "Never been better," said Harry, rubbing the top of his head and slumping back onto his pillows. "You?" "Not bad," said Ron, pulling over a cardboard box and sitting on it. "When did you get here? Mom's only just told us." "About 1 o'clock this morning." "Were the Muggles all right? Did they treat you okay?" "Same as usual," said Harry, as Hermione perched herself on the edge of his bed. "They didn't talk to me much, but I like it better that way. How are you, Hermione?" "Oh, I'm fine," said Hermione, who was scrutinizing Harry as though he was sickening for something. He thought he knew what was behind this, and as he had no wish to discuss Sirius's death or any other miserable subject at the moment, he said, "What's the time? Have I missed breakfast?" "Don't worry about that. Mom's bringing you up a tray. She reckons you look underfed," said Ron, rolling his eyes. "So what's going on?" "Nothing much. I've just been stuck at my aunt and uncle's, haven't I?" "Come off it," said Ron. "You've been off with Dumbledore." It wasn't that exciting. He just wanted me to help him persuade this old teacher to come out of retirement. His name's Horace Slughorn. "Oh," said Ron, looking disappointed. "We thought..." Hermione flashed a warning look at Ron, and Ron changed tack at top speed. "We thought it'd be something like that." "You did," said Harry, amused. Yeah, now that Umbridge has left, we obviously need a new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, don't we? So, what's he like?" "He looks a bit like a walrus, and he used to be head of Slytherin," said Harry. "Something wrong, Hermione?" She was watching him as though expecting strange symptoms to manifest themselves at any moment. She rearranged her features hastily in an unconvincing smile. "No, of course not. So, did Slughorn seem like he'll be a good teacher?" "Dunno," said Harry. "He can't be worse than Umbridge, can he?" "I know someone who's worse than Umbridge," said a voice from the doorway. Ron's younger sister slouched into the room, looking irritable. "Hi, Harry." "What's up with you?" Ron asked. "It's her," said Ginny, plonking herself down in Harry's bed. "She's driving me mad." "What's she done now?" asked Hermione sympathetically. "I think it's the way she talks to me. You'd think I was about 3. "I know," said Hermione, dropping her voice. "She's so full of herself." Harry was astonished to hear Hermione talking about Mrs. Weasley like this and could not blame Ron for saying angrily, "Can't you two lay off her for 5 seconds? "Oh, that's right. Defend her," snapped Ginny. "We all know you can't get enough of her." This seemed like an odd comment to make about Ron's mother. Starting to feel he was missing something, Harry said, "Who are you?" But his question was answered before he could finish it. The bedroom door flew open again, and Harry instinctively yanked the bed covers up to his chin so hard that Hermione and Ginny slid off the bed onto the floor. A young woman was standing in the doorway, a woman of such breathtaking beauty that the room seemed to have become strangely airless. She was tall and willowy, with long blonde hair, and appeared to emanate a faint silvery glow. To complete this vision of perfection, she was carrying a heavily laden breakfast tray. "Eri," she said in a throaty voice, "it has been too long." And she swept over the threshold toward him, Mrs. Weasley looking revealed, bobbing along in her wake, looking rather cross. "There's no need to bring up the tray. I was just about to do it myself." "It is no trouble," said Fleur de la Cour, setting the tray across Harry's knees and swooping to kiss him on each cheek. He felt the places where her mouth had touched him burn. "I have been longing to see him. You remember my sister, Gabrielle? She never stops talking about Harry Potter." Oh man, I'm losing the accent. She's French, right? Uh-huh. Okay. I have to think French. I'm very bad at accents, you know. Let's see, French. "I have been longing to see him. You remember my sister, Gabrielle. She never stops talking about Harry Potter. She will be delighted to see you again." Is that close?
Uh-huh.
It's a little better. "Oh, is she here too?" Harry croaked. "No, no, silly boy," said Fleur with a tinkling laugh. "I mean next summer, when we... But you do not know?" Her great blue eyes widened, and she looked reproachfully at Mrs. Weasley, who said, "We haven't gotten around to telling him yet." Fleur turned back to Harry, swinging her silvery sheet of hair so that it whipped Mrs. Weasley across the face. "Bill and I are going to be married." "Oh," said Harry blankly. He could not help noticing how Mrs. Weasley, Hermione, and Ginny were all determinedly avoiding one another's gaze. "Wow, congratulations." She swooped down upon him and kissed him again. "Bill is very busy at the moment, working very hard, and I only work part-time at Gringotts for my English, so he brought me here a few days to get to know his family properly. I was so pleased to hear you'd be coming. There is so much to do here, unless you like cooking and chickens. There isn't much to do here, unless you like cooking and chickens. Well, enjoy your breakfast, Harry." With these words, she turned gracefully and seemed to float out of the room, closing the door behind her quietly. Mrs. Weasley made a noise that sounded like, "Tcha." "Mum hates her," said Ginny quietly. "I do not hate her," said Mrs. Weasley in a cross whisper. "I just think they've hurried into this engagement, that's all." "They've only known each other a year," said Ron, who looked oddly groggy and was staring at the door. "Well, that's not very long. I know why it's happened, of course. It's all this uncertainty about you-know-who coming back. People think they might be dead tomorrow, so they're rushing all sorts of decisions they'd normally take time over. It was the same last time he was powerful. People eloping left and right and center." "Including you and Dad," said Ginny slyly. "Yes, well, your father and I were made for each other. What was the point in waiting?" said Mrs. Weasley. "Whereas Bill and Fleur, well, what the have they really got in common? He's a hard-working, down-to-earth sort of person, whereas she's..." "A cow," said Ginny, nodding. "But Bill's not that down-to-earth. He's a curse-breaker, isn't he? He likes a bit of adventure, a bit of glamour. I expect that's why he's gone for Flem." "Stop calling her that, Ginny," said Mrs. Weasley sharply, and Harry and Hermione laughed. "Well, I'd better get on. Eat your eggs while they're warm, Harry." Looking careworn, she left the room. Ron seemed slightly punch drunk. He was shaking his head experimentally, like a dog trying to rid its ears of water. "Don't you get used to her if she's staying in the same house?" Harry asked. "Well, you do," said Ron, "but if she jumps at you unexpectedly, then..." "It's pathetic," said Hermione furiously, striding away from Ron as far as she could go and turning to face him with her arms folded once she had reached the wall. "You don't really want her around forever," Ginny asked Ron incredulously. When he merely shrugged, she said, "Well, Mum's going to put a stop to it if she can. I'll bet you anything." "How's she going to manage that?" asked Harry. "She keeps Tonks around for dinner. I think she's hoping Bill will fall for Tonks instead." "I hope he does. I'd much rather have her in the family." "Yeah, that'll work," said Ron sarcastically. "Listen, no bulk in his right mind's going to fancy Tonks when Fleur's around. I mean, Tonks is okay looking when she isn't doing stupid things to her hair and nose, but..." "She's a damn better sight than Flem," said Ginny. "And she's more intelligent. She's an Auror," said Hermione from the corner. "Fleur's not stupid. She was good enough to enter the Triwizard Tournament," said Harry. "Not you as well," said Hermione bitterly. "I suppose you like the way Flem says Airy, do you?" asked Ginny scornfully. "No," said Harry, wishing he hadn't spoken. "I was just saying, Flem, I mean Fleur. I'd much rather have Tonks in the family, said Ginny. At least she's a laugh. She hasn't been much of a laugh lately, said Ron. Every time I've seen her, she's looked more like Moaning Myrtle. That's not fair, snapped Hermione. She still hasn't gotten over what happened, you know. I mean, he was her cousin. Harry's heart sank. They had arrived at Sirius. He picked up a fork and began shoveling scrambled eggs into his mouth, hoping to deflect any invitation to join in this part of the conversation. Tonks and Sirius barely knew each other, said Ron. Sirius was in Azkaban half her life, and before that, their families never met. That's not the point, said Hermione. She thinks it was her fault he died. How does she work that one out? Asked Harry, in spite of himself. Well, she was fighting Bellatrix Lestrange, wasn't she? I think she feels that if only she had finished her off, Bellatrix couldn't have killed Sirius. That's stupid, said Ron. It's survivor's guilt, said Hermione. I know Lupin's tried to talk her around, but she's still really down. She's actually having trouble with her metamorphosing. With her... She can't change appearance like she used to, explained Hermione. I think her powers must have been affected by shock or something. I didn't know that could happen, said Harry. Nor did I, said Hermione. But I suppose if you're really depressed... The door opened again, and Mrs. Weasley popped her head in. Ginny, she whispered, come downstairs and help me with lunch. I'm talking to this lot, said Ginny, outraged. Now, said Mrs. Weasley, and withdrew. She only wants me there so she doesn't have to be alone with Flem, said Ginny crossly. She swung her long red hair around in a very good imitation of Fleur and pranced across the room with her head, with her arms held aloft like a ballerina. You lot had better come down quickly, too, she said as she left. Let me see how much more there is left. Oh, there's quite a bit left in this. I think we're going to stop there, Kitten Boo. Oh. I know, I'm sorry. It is bedtime for the kitten, and it's dinner time for the pups. Because he's getting super hungry. So, I love you, baby girl. Sleep well. Good night, darling.